Sadi Zayin Amid Aleph. And we're going to start with Amalei Rav Chizda L'Rav Hemnuna. So yesterday we spoke, if you recall, about Rav Shita, that if you're throwing something from one Rishus HaYachid to the other Rishus HaYachid, with the Rishus HaRabim in the middle, so Rav was worried about the possibility that if you're not a good, you know, if your energy is not perfect, then it might land in Rishus HaRabim. And that's a case where even if he owns both Rishus HaYachids, Rav would still prohibit you throwing from one Rishus HaYachid that's yours above 10 Amos over Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaYachid, because Rav is talking about a case where he's high and he's throwing it low. So he's on the roof and he's throwing it into, let's say, the bottom floor or the second floor of his other house. And he's got a Rishus HaRabim that goes in between. And Rav, if you recall, was worried about the possibility that the object might actually fall on the ground in Rishus HaRabim. That itself wouldn't bother Rav. But what he's worried about is that inadvertently, since he's so eager to get that object over to the other Rishus HaYachid, he might run down from the roof, pick up the object from the floor of Rishus HaRabim, and complete his intention and throw it into the Rishus HaYachid. And that would be a full-fledged violation of Achiv Chatas. So we asked the question yesterday, forget about the fact that he's going to climb down, pick up the object from the floor of Rishus HaRabim, and throw it into the other house. The very fact that he missed getting it into the other house and it landed on Rishus HaRabim, that itself should be a Chiyuv Chatas. Why isn't Rav worried about that? And the answer was that that's called Misasek. That would not engender a Chiyuv Chatas. Why? Because we had a Gemara earlier in Perek Klal Gadol. If you recall, a Machlokes Abai V'Rava about the parameters of Misasek, but let's go with Rava. And Rava says that if you intended to throw it 2 amos, and instead you threw it 4 amos, then you don't bring a chatos for that. In Rishus HaRabim. So at the end, you did a Maisa Zrika of Dalet Amos, which should generate a Chiyuv Chatos, but no. Rava says you're a Misasek. Why? Because there's a fundamental difference between throwing something 2 amos in Rishus HaRabim and throwing it 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. And here too, in a case where he intended it to throw it from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, above 10 tfachim in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim between, that's not a Maisa of Hotzah at all, from one Rishus HaYachid to the other. And therefore, if it happens to fall shy and it lands in the Rishus HaRabim in between, that's called Misasek. But now when he goes down to the floor, picks up the object from the floor of Rishus HaRabim, and he chucks it into a Rishus HaYachid, that's a full-fledged Meleches Hotzah. Again, he didn't realize that it was prohibited, he didn't think it was Shabbos, whatever the case may be, and that's what Rav is worried about. So that's just a summary of the last sugya that we did yesterday. So we're up to Omer Le Rav Chizda Le Rav Hemnuna. I'm just wondering how I could, let's say, if I said it was 12 lines up from the bottom, I don't know if that helps anybody. I didn't count it. Maybe it's more like 15. But you'll see that the first word in the line is the Zimnin, if you're looking towards the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Omid Aleph. Amalei Rav Chizda Rav Hemnuna. This is the sugi we started yesterday, but we didn't finish it. The Amri Lei, others say it was Rav Hemnuna L'Rav Chizda Minaha Milsa Diyam Rabbanon Kol Pachos Mishlosha Kilavu Dami. That if something is in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim below 3 tfachim, that's considered as if it's landed in Rishus HaRabim. So for example, if you were to throw something from a Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, but the object flew through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim below 3 Tfachim, everybody holds you Chayiv in that case. Above 10 Tfachim, everybody holds you Potter. Within, between 3 and 10, we had a Machlokes, where the old Kluta Gemisho Huncha. But everybody agrees that within 3 Tfachim, let's say 2.9 Tfachim, above the ground of Rishus HaRabim, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. And where is that based on? Is that a svara? Is that some sort of halacha l'moshe miSinai? Amalei, so Rav Chisda responds, again, it depends who it is who's responding, that it's a svara. I don't need anything more than a simple, logical svara. And what is the svara? The Rosh HaRabim is made up of gavshushiot. And these little hills have to be flattened or planed, and lefishi efshalol rishus harabim shetilokeit b'maklet uberehitni. In other words, you need these certain kinds of utensils that are planes, right? Malaket is a verb, and rehitni is the noun of that describes this utensil. And what you're going to have to do is, in order to make it, you know, usable, so that you don't trip and fall on every single gavshushis, you're going to have to flatten out the rishus harabim. And therefore, we imagine as if you flattened it out. And he says the following, based on Rashi, he says, Shekach derech rishus harabim, sheyesh ba gavshushiot. And since what is he going to do with this gavshushiot that are interrupting, you know, the normal, comfortable use of rishus harabim, he's going to flatten it. He's going to shave them off. So therefore, Yefshar, it's impossible that he won't be machlik the karka of Rishus HaRabim from these gavshushiot, and therefore the gavshushiot are betelos. And basically what it means is that the gavshushiot now sort of lift up the Rishus HaRabim up to 2.9 tfachim, and they are considered in that airspace part of Rishus HaRabim, because if, let's say, you were imagining, you know, an object that's traveling in this airspace of 2.9 tfachim above the ground level of Rishus HaRabim, you're gonna end up, that object is gonna smack up against the gavshushis. Well, you know, like in a Walt Disney movie, imagine just flattening as if that gavshushis didn't exist, and that's called batel me'aleha. So the gavshushis, in a sense, allows you to raise the ground, so to speak, of Rishus HaRabim higher. And what we're going to soon see is that is really not loved. Because love, it goes way, way beyond that. So Gemara asks, Yehoki Shloshan Nami. So what happens if he has a gavshushis that's 3 tfachim high? Why not imagine that he removes that gavshushis? You're telling me that this halacha of Rishus HaRabim only applies in 2.9 tfachim and not in 3 tfachim. Visu, and furthermore, I'm going to prove to you from a Mishnah in Sukkah that your logic is not going to justify lovut. Because lovut is not always an issue of what's blocking me on the ground level of Rishus HaRabim. Because the Mishnah says in Sukkah, HaMishal Shel Defanos Milamala Lamata, right, he sets up his dofen and he's bringing it down, down, down from the top all the way down to the bottom. Let's say, for example, a dofen could be made of cloth. So he's weaving a cloth, and he's weaving the mechitzos, and he starts with the schach. So he puts up the ariga, the weaving part near the schach, and he keeps weaving and weaving and weaving, going down, down, down. And the Mishnah says, Imein gvolos min arshel shetzvach psula. So the Mishnah says that if he stops at a point of 3 tfachim above the ground, that's not called a dofen, and the sukkah is invalid. The implication is that if he reaches below 3 tefachim into 2.9 tefachim above the ground, then that's called a dofen of a sukkah. Why? Because it's within 3 tefachim, meaning it's minus 3 tefachim in the airspace below on the ground. This is not the din of lavud that you were talking about, because what we need is that the dofen should reach down to the karka. So we're not talking about the airspace above the karka. What we're talking about is setting up a mechitza that reaches the karka. Here the din of lavud allows me to do something magical, and that's called hashlama. Hashlama means it's as if it's closed up. Meaning, although the mechitza is not really closed up, it doesn't completely... What word do I want to use? It doesn't completely insulate, or... what word could I use? Enclose, we'll use that word. It doesn't completely enclose the space of the sukkah, the living space of the sukkah, but nevertheless, we consider it as a mechitza because it reaches almost to the ground, 2.9 tefachim from the ground. So that allows me to extend the mechitza, and we're not talking about your lavud of seeing, you know, an airspace above the ground as if it is part of the ground. We're not dealing with that airspace above the ground. We're dealing with the mechitza going up from top to bottom. Now, in the note here that I have, he has another case in Masechtas Sukkah, which is a little bit different. And, all right, maybe I'll wait another minute till we get it. But just to give you a little bit of a preview for my sake, we're going to also have cases where lavud is going to allow me to fill up a space that is going horizontally, meaning I have let's say a kind of a fence or ropes that go from one side to the other side, and the distance between one rope and the other, right, if you imagine this direction, would be less than 3 tefachim. And once again, that's going to allow me to close off the area in an imaginary mechitza through the operation of lavud. There too, we're not talking about removing gavshushios. So the Gemara says, you know what? I'm not impressed by your second question. Right, there were two questions. The first question, again, was shlosho. What about 3? Okay, we'll leave that question for now. But don't ask me your second question, because that Mishnah in Sukkah is not based on lavud. Chosom hainu taima mishum dehavile mechitza shagidim bokim ba. So we have halacha of god achis mechitza, so god nachis mechitza, meaning that mechitzos continue up and down, imaginary, and there's halacha with regard to sukkah that when we define a mechitza, it's not enough to generate an imaginary sukkah, an imaginary mechitza, because we need that the sukkah actually be a, let's call it a private area. And how do we measure whether or not the mechitza will guarantee privacy, so to speak, which means that the area inside the mechitzos is secluded and it is circled and encompassed by the mechitzos? Our barometer is Gideon Bokimba. You know, we have these little goats, and the question is, will they break in? So if they'll break in, and why is that? Because the mechitza left them an area space of 3 tefachim. So you have these little, cute little goats, you know, chihuahuas, goats, I don't know. Anyway, and they can penetrate into the sukkah. Then as far as sukkah is concerned, at least, that's not called a mechitza. There are other cases in Shabbos where despite the fact that it's Gedim Bokimba, it still is considered a Mechitza. But those questions are only relevant when you want an abstract Mechitza. But when you're talking about a Mechitza to enclose an area and guarantee that that area is completely separated and enclosed, then it's not enough to set up an imaginary Mechitza. But you need Ein Gedim Bokimbo. And Ein Gedim Bokimbo means that it's less than an airspace of 3 Tfachim. So the Gemara now is suggesting that the halacha of 3 Tfachim in the case of a mechitza or a dofen of a sukkah is not based on lavud, but rather based on classic mechitza shilas, whether or not we have a mechitza or we don't have a mechitza. And the 3 tefachim rule is going to disqualify the mechitza, because once it's 3 tefachim open, then it's gedim bokimbo. The gedim, so to speak, are penetrating through this mechitza, and that's not a mechitza at all. But it's not midin lavud. So the Gemara asks the following question. Tenach limata, but lemala mai ika lememar. I understand that if the airspace on the bottom between the end of the dofen and the ground is 3 tefachim wide or 3 tefachim tall going from the floor to the top, then you could tell me that the sukkah is psula because of Gedim Bokimba. But what a lamala? Now, what's the case of lamala? So let's say, for example, you have a case, this is a Mishnah in Masechta Erevin, called Shlosha Chavolim Ubeinehem Pachos Mishlosha Tfachim. And you have another case in Sukkah called Hirchik Haschach Me'adfanos Shlosha Tfachim. So now we have the following. We have two cases, and there's a basic commonality between the two. One case is that there are 3 Chavolim. Now, in the diagram here, he has the following. He says, Me'akarka ad hachevel arishon, from the ground until the first rope, he's got 2.9 tfachim. From the first rope to the second rope, and second to the third, the same 2.9 tefachim. So he's always got less than 3 tefachim that separate one rope from the next. Then he has another case, which, as we said before, that's a Mishnah in Sukkah, where the schach doesn't reach all, it doesn't stretch and fill all the way over to the dofen, and there's an airspace between the dofen and the schach of 3 tefachim. So again, in the case of Chavolim, once you hit a distance of 3 tefachim between one chevel and the other, the sukkah is psula. In the case of Hirchik Aschach Be'adfanos, once there's a distance of more than three tefachim or more, the sukkah is psula. In both of these cases, if it's 2.9 tefachim, whether it's 2.9 tefachim in the distance between one chevel and the next, or it's 2.9 tefachim in the distance between the schach and the dofen, the sukkah is kshera. He says, there, you're not dealing with bekoyim gedim bokimbo, right? Because you're talking as you go up and up and up through the sukkah, or the schach and its proximity to the dofen, you're not talking about gedim bokimbo. So therefore, in such a case, we're really talking about lavud. What do I mean by lavud? Lavud means that we fill in the airspace between these two objects, right? Between the two chavolim, between the schach and the dofen. In these cases, you're not going to tell me that the reason why the sukkah is kshera in the case of 2.9 is because the gedim won't break in there. I mean, we're not talking about gedim here on the top of the sukkah or going up level by level through the sukkah. And now we're back to our original kasha, says the Gemara. You are telling me that the reason for lavud is because of the gavshushis, that we imagine that we can flatten out these gavshushis, and therefore the airspace above Rosh Hashanah is considered flat. That's not going to help me in lavud, when lavud means that I have two objects that are 2.9 tfachim distant one from the other, and I'm going to bridge the gap, fill it in, and imagine that these two objects are continuous. So we're going to be mashlim that airspace, that distance, the avir shebineihem, based on the fact that we have a principle of lavud. So again, let's just go over the shakla v'tari. The Gemara thought, I have a kasha on your logic, Rav Chisda, because your logic is not going to help me in the case where the mechitza goes down, right, the dofer asuka goes down within 2.9 tfachim of the ground. Your logic is not... So the Gemara says, well, that halach of 2.9 is not based on love, but it's based on gedim bokimbo, which means that physically that mechitza cannot be considered a mechitza. It doesn't really serve its purpose because the gedim are bokimbo. Gemara says, but I'll prove to you that there is an abstract halach of lavud that has nothing to do with the physical reality of gedim bokimbo, and that we can attach two things irrelevant to whether the gedim are bokimbo or ain bokimbo, because we're talking about ain gedim bokimbo in the height of the sukkah. So that must be halach of lavud. So we're back to our original question, from whence do we derive the halach of lavud? Ella, says the Gemara, kol pachos mishlosha kilavudami hilchas agamira lei. That we have halacha l'moshe misinai, that if there are two objects and we could fill in the space between them because their distance is less than three tfachim, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. And that's going to apply in the case of the airspace of 2.9 tfachim above the ground. It's going to apply in a much more fundamental way in the case of the various scenarios in sukkah that we had, whether it's the chavolim that is separated by 2.9, whether it's the distance between the schach and the dofen, which is 2.9. But just Rav Osei, give me a minute because I'm clouded here. What is the Gemara saying here? Just one second. That's not clear to me. Just one second. Let me see. Just want to see one thing. If I have it here, I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out, at the end of the day, is Rav Chisda dropping the svara, and now he's replacing it with halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the final maskana here. Just one second. Yeah, he quotes the Ran. The Ran says, I was unaware of this, but I'm relieved. The Ran says that one of the applications of the halacha l'moshe misinai of lavud is that the airspace within three tfachim of the ground is considered part of the ground itself. And then we go to the concept of mashlim, of stima, if you want to call it that, meaning that you fill in the airspace between two chavolim, or between the schach and the dofen, that's less than three tfachim. So the impression I get here from the Ran is that at the end of the day, we're not going to use a svara of Rav Chisda to justify that the airspace in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim up to three tefachim is considered like the ground, because that svara is not going to help you in other cases and other applications of lovehood. But rather, we're going to consider that if you have an object that's going through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim below three tefachim, it's as if the object is on the ground, because the distance between the object and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is less than three tefachim, and then we're going to apply the halacha of Moshe Sinai of lovehood. The Nachamal, the three tefachim that separate the airspace, okay, within three tefachim, when I say three tefachim, I mean 2.9, that separate the airspace from the ground, is considered part of the ground itself. Do you follow? We're really just filling in that gap. There's a gap. You have an object that is 2.9 tefachim above the ground. We consider it as if it's on the ground, and that's how Halacha Moshe Misina of lovehood. So forget about Gavshushes Ahin and Gavshushes Aher. That svara of Rav Chisda is being left out because we have Halacha Moshe Misina. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Mirshus Arabim, Lishus Arabim, Mirshus Ayachid by Emtza. Until now, we've been speaking about a case of a Rishus Arabim that cuts through between two batim. So you have a Rishus Ayachid on one side, Rishus Ayachid on the other side, with a Rishus Arabim in the middle. And you may recall we had a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. A possible twofold machlokes, if it goes through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim below Asar Tfachim, then we have an issue of Kalut, of Kluta Gemisho Huncha, and if it's above Yud Tfachim, we have an issue of Yalfina and Zorek Mimoshit. Fine. So that's where the Rishus HaRabim cuts through to Rishus HaYochid. Now we have the opposite sugya. What happens if you have a Rishus HaYochid that cuts through a Rishus HaRabim? It sort of wedges between one Rishus Arab on the right side and another on the left. Now he picks up an object and he throws it from Rishus Arabim into Rishus Arabim, and it travels through a Rishus Ayachid. Now again, you could ask a whole bunch of questions here. I mean, why isn't he chayef for Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim? But let's leave that out. Our issue right now, first and foremost, is going to be, is he chayef for, let's call it hachnasa, if I want to use the technical term, when the object goes into the airspace of Rishus HaYochid. Now keep in mind that with regard to Rishus HaYochid, there's no difference between below 10 tefachim and above 10 tefachim. Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Akiya. So l'chora, if we would apply the principle of kolut, of kluta gemisho huncha dami, then for sure he should be chayv at least one chatos, if not two chatos. And the Braisa records a machlokes between Rebbe in this case and the Chachamim, Rebbe Mechayev. Okay, we're not sure exactly what Rebbe Mechayev, is it one chatos or two chatos, but certainly one chatos. And that's because the object went through a Rishus HaYochid, and Chachamim Potrim, because the Chachamim say it didn't land in the Rishus HaYochid. It went from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim. So at this point, I would have to submit to you that it seems that the Machlokis here is about Kluta Kamisha Unchadami. But Rav and Shmuel wanted to say, forget about Kluta Kamisha Unchadami. Nobody, not even Rebbe, accepts Kluta Gemisho Unchadami. Is Dr. the Frage, you freak the Frage, so why you chayev? If it didn't land in Rishus HaYochid, why does Rebbe say you chayev a chatos? Just because it went through the airspace of Rishus HaYochid, there's no Kluta. Says Rav and Shmuel, the Amishavai Lochiev, Rebbe, Ela Rishus HaYochid Mekora. We're talking about a Rishus HaYochid that has a roof to it. So it's kind of like I don't know if I could use the word a gazebo, I don't know what you want to call it, but you're talking about, you know, a roofed Rishus HaYochid, and yet there's airspace on both sides. I mean, you have to figure out exactly how it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaYochid has to have Lama Zogin, three mechitzos, maybe four mechitzos. Anyway, he's throwing something from a Rishus HaRavim through a Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRavim. Oh, I have it. I have a good example for you. There's a house, and the house has windows. It's got a roof, and he throws from a Rishus HaRavim through the window of the house, and it exits from the second window, lands in another Rishus HaRavim. So you've got a house between two Rishus HaRavims, and he throws it through the airspace of the house, which is Rishus HaYochid. So where's that Nocha? So Rav and Shmuel say, you know why it's Munach Rishus HaYochid? Because it's a Makora, because it's roofed. Ubesa, the Amrinan Besa command Demalyadomi. You may recall that we had, you know, those of you who were with me when we learned a little Bav Metzia, which I'm always thinking maybe one day we'll get back to Bav Metzia when this whole business ends, but anyway, you see how optimistic I am. Anyway, so we have Besa command Demalyadomi. Okay, Rashi gives a whole Mitzius here, you know, a whole description of the of a roofed house. You know, it's dark and it's dingy and it's, you know, it's full of air, a certain kind of an air. Anyway, the bottom line is that anything that goes through Rishus HaYochid, that's Makura, we imagine as if the area was filled in with boxes or whatever you like from the ground all the way to the top. And wherever it is, it's munach. It's considered nach. It's literally stuck in the Rishus HaYochid. Not physically, but halachically. So that even if I reject Kluta Kavisha Huncha Dami, in the case of Rishus HaRavim, right, when he takes something from a Rishus HaYochid and throws it Derech Rishus HaRavim into another Rishus HaYochid, and I'm potur because of I don't accept Kluta Kamisha Huncha, that's because the Rishus HaRavim is an open area. But when I'm throwing it from a Rishus HaRavim to another Rishus HaRavim through a Rishus HaYochid, and that Rishus HaYochid is a closed area because it's got a roof on top, then Rebbe introduces a new principle called Besa Keman Demal Yadomi. It's imagine that we view the space inside the Rishus HaYochid, inside this house, to be filled in entirely. And whatever you throw through that space is considered nach. It's considered as if it, you know, it's stationarily attached to a place. Aval she'ena makora, lo. Yeah, what do you say, Rabbi?
Different from Kluta.
It's another application of Kluta. Right, it's another application of Kluta, but it's a more limited application. I'm not willing to say that anything that's in the airspace of Rishus is considered Nach, but in the case of Rishus HaYochid Makora, then I'm going to apply the principle of Kluta. That's Rebbe Shita. So let's keep in mind that Rebbe is not going to accept Rebbe Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if you throw something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, and it's below 10 Tvachim, you're going to be Chayav. Rabbi is going to reject that. He doesn't accept Kluta Gemish Uncha. The fact that it's in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim up to 10 Tvachim, within 10 Tvachim, that's not considered Nach. Rabbi never accepted Kluta Gemish Uncha. But says Rav and Shmuel, what Rabbi would accept in the case of Rishus HaRavim, Rishus HaRavim, Rishus HaYochid Ba'emtza, that's already a Makora. And if it's a Rishus HaYochid Makora, we have a principle called Besa Keman Demal Yadomi. Rashi says that it's a play that the, you know, once you have a roof on top, it's Chashuch, you know, it's considered dark. Rashi says it's Moli Hevel. You know, you have like your oxygen is kind of restricted, you know, to a certain area. You don't have this open air, and it's called Hevel. And it's considered as if the Chefetz is Nach. And that's when Rebbe says you're Chayev, but in the case of Eina Makura, Rebbe agrees that you're not Chayev. Okay. Now, why is it that Rav and Shmuel are deliberately avoiding Kluta Kamisha Unchadami? You know, why not say that this Machlokus Rebbe and the Chachamim applies whether it's Makura or Eina Makura, and simply Rebbe is applying the principle of Kluta Kamisha Hunchadami. What moved Rav and Shmuel to introduce Makora? I mean, it doesn't say anywhere in the Braisa that is Rishus Hayoch and Makora. What bothered them? So he has here in the note a quote from the Bali Atosvis and many other Rishonim, and they say the following. Hoya Efshar, it would have been possible, Levar Shamachlokes Rebbe V'Chachamim, in this Braisa, is Bein B'Makora, Bein B'Shei Makora, and it's a duplicate of the Machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan that we learned earlier, with the Rishus HaRavim in the middle, of Kluta Kamisha Uncha. And Rebbe is reflecting and repeating the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that Kluta Kamisha Uncha. And the Rabbanan reject Kluta. Ach! What bothered Rav and Shmuel? Mikach she Rebbe v'Chachamim lo noktu es machlokosam v'ofen shezork v'shezayoch v'shezayoch v'derek v'shezorah ma'emtza. Why is it that the Braisa, when it formulated this machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, completely avoided the case of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, where there was a Rishus HaRamim in between two Rishus HaYochids? Hayamash Malem Liravu Shmuel Shetaimo Shel Rebbe Humishum Shabayis Nechshav Mole Vamachlokas Idafka Birshus HaYochid Mekora Bilvat. So the kasha that bothered Rav and Shmuel is that if this machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is just a repeat of the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, so why was this machlokas formulated in a case of Rishus HaRavim, Rishus HaRavim, Rishus HaYochid Ba'emtza? Why not Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRavim Ba'emtza? And then we're back to square one, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about Kluta Kamisha Unchadami. Why wasn't that mentioned? So Rav and Shmuel wanted to suggest that this machlokas is independent. We're holding like the Chachamim, which is always a healthy thing, you know, Yochid v'Ravim, we're holding like the Ravim, and we don't say Kluta Kamisha Uncha. But this is a unique case of Kluta Kamisha Uncha because it's Beso Kimakora. Beso Makora, which is Kiman Demalia Deman Domi. Omer Avchiz, Omer Abiyud, Omer Shmuel, Mechayev Hoya Rebbe, Shtayim. Oh, let's see how far we can go. If we're saying that Kiman Demalia Domi, and the object is considered Alpidin, that it's Nach Birshus HaYochid, then you have now a Hachnosa and a Hotzah. You have Hachnosa taking the object from Rishus HaRamim into the bias, and it's Nach Birshus HaYochid now, that's called Hachnosa. And now you have an additional Malach of Hotzah when it goes from the bias out into add into another Rishus HaRav, and that's called Hotzah. Now again, you might ask, but where's the Maisa Anocha? The answer is Beis HaKamad Demal Yadavi. If Beis HaKamad Demal Yadavi, that sets up Anocha, because otherwise we have no clue as to why Rebbe would say Yechayev here. Rebbe holds that Yechayev because it landed in Rishus HaRav, in Rishus HaYochid, in the Bayis. Then not only did it land in Rishus HaYochid, but his Riko was powerful enough to lift it out of the Rishus HaYochid and let it down and put it down in Rishus HaRav. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that Enochinami, according to Rebbe, he's going to be Chayev Shtayim. Achas mishum otsa, v'achas mishum achnasa. And Rabbo say, this is going to lead us to the old question about avos and toldos. Because if we assume that achnasa is a tolda of otsa, then when you violate both the otsa, the av, and the achnasa, the tolda, behelimachas, and here for sure it's helimachas, then he's only chayav one chatas. Is it possible that according to Shmuel's understanding of Rebbe, Rebbe had two different avos? He had Hotzah and he had Achnasah as two separate avos. Again, I'm just trying to give you a taste of what's coming around the bend. Yosef Rabchana, Rabchino v'kokashale. Now here we turn to Tzadid Zayin Amid Beis. How could it be possible, Shmuel, that Rebbe would be mechayev two chatos, one for Otzah and one for Achnasah? That's impossible. We're talking about a tolda, and it's av. Lemeimra, are you going to tell me the mechayev Rebbe atolda b'makom av? That Rebbe says that if you violate an av and it's tolda b'elimachas, you bring two chatos? That's not true. V'atanya v'braisa, Rebbe Omer. Rebbe's going to derive the number 39 in Melachah Shabbos from a drush of a pasuk. The Gemara back on Daf Mem Tes actually derived it from the Melachos of the Mishkan, that there are 39 categories of labor that were implemented in the Mishkan, but Rebbe apparently has his drusha. So I'm going to read to you the whole pasuk. The pasuk says in Shmos Perek Lamed Hey, Ela Advarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam. And Rebbe says that there are a couple of things here that are superfluous. First of all, why does it say Hadvarim? It could say Davar Asher Diber in singular. Secondly, what's this Ela? Ela. Why does it have to say Ela? Says Rebbe, Dvarim gives you two. Why? Because it's plural. Then you have the hey, that's another extra letter, and that jacks it up to three. Then you have Ela. So Ela is 36. Why? Because Lamed is 30, Aleph and hey is 6, is 36. So you have 36 to 3, and Elu Shloshim V'Teisha Malacha Shenemru L'Moshe Misinai. Now, why does the pasuk have to tell me the number? Rebbe is saying that the entire structure of this pasuk, Eileh HaDvarim, is coming to teach me the magic number 39. What do I have to know that for sure? Well, what halachic significance does that number 39 have? And the answer is that if you violate an av and its tolda, then you're only chaya for the av and not for the tolda, which means that the maximum number of chatos that you could incur in any given Shabbos, if you did all 39 malachas and their toldos, would still equal to 39. That's where we cap it out, we max it out. So you see clearly that if Rebbe is trying to derive from a pasuk that there are 39 avos, that number 39 is significant, because it defines the maximum number of chatos in any given Shabbos so you could ever be chayav. Because av v'tolda d'day, you only bring one chatos. Now I mentioned to you before, and maybe you caught it in the innuendo of my saying, sometimes I say things and don't pay any attention, but in this case I really meant it, that you're chayav for the av and not for the tolda. And as crazy as that sounds, that's a Rashi at the beginning above a comma. Rashi says, if you violate the av and the tolda, you chai for the av and not for the tolda. This has a tremendous nafgemina, because what happens if you find out about the av and you amafrish a carbon for the av and then you find out about the tolda? So it could be that it works in one direction and not in the other direction. If you find out about the tolda, it could be that you're not chayav for the tolda because you violated the av. But if you did it the opposite way, and you were mafrish a karbon for the av, that automatically covers you for the tolda. But in any event, you should know that this is a major issue and all the Achronim talk about this, is it that Yechai for both the Av and the Tolda and one Chatos kills two birds with one stone, or is it that you're only Chai for the Av and not for the Tolda? But one thing is for sure. If you violate Achnos and Otsah, Be'elim Achas, you only bring one Chatos. So the Gemara says, you know, I have an answer for this. Omar Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef turns to Rav Chana. He was the one who asked this Kasha. Mara ha masni leva kasha le the Rebbe ad the Rebbe, but anan ad the Rebbe Yehuda masnisin velo kashala. The reason why you, Rav Chana, have a problem is because you assume, Rav Chana, that we're talking about the shita of Rebbe. What do I mean? Rebbe Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says that you chayev two chatos, one for hotzah and the other for hachnosa. And you assumed, Rav China, that statement was going according to Rebbe. And we were talking about a case where he stood in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he threw an object through a house, and it ended up landing in another Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And Rebbe says, according to you, Rav China, that you chayev shtayim. So what are you going to do now with Rebbe, who says that you're not chayev on a told of a makom av? You're left with, as Rebbe Kivenga would call it, a tzarech in God. Aval anan, but I understood, either Rebbe Yehuda masnisen, that when Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that he's chayev on a told of makom av, he wasn't referring to Rebbe, he was referring to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe with a Yud, Rebbe Yehuda. Right, so it's Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, regarding Rebbe Yehuda the Tana. Velo Kashalon. And therefore, I have no stira, because, in fact, Rebbe Yehuda is not on board with Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda the Tana, that you get away with a Tolda Makom Av with one Chatas. Rebbe Yehuda actually holds that if you violate an Av and its Tolda, you bring two Chatos. Now, the only thing that we have to work out here is, how does Rav Yosef know that Rav Yehuda agrees with Rebbe? Okay, so leave that as a question. That's one piece of the puzzle that we're missing here. Our Braisa records Rebbe says Yechai V'chatas. It doesn't say Rav Yehuda. But apparently there's another version that it was not Rebbe who said this, it was Rabbi Yehuda, or it was Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda, and our focus here, Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, is on Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we're going to find a precedent that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, that if you violate an Av and it's told of Be'elim Achas, that you bring two Chatos. The Sani we learned in the Braisa, Mershus HaYochid, Lershus HaRabin. The Avar Arba Amos Bishus Arabim. Now here's an interesting case, because on the one hand he's chayev for Hotzah, because he threw the object from Rishus Ayochid out into Rishus Arabim, and it means even if it would have landed exactly all over the border on that far edge of the closer edge of Rishus Arabim, he'd be chayev for Hotzah. But not only that, the object flew into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, full four amos. In which case, he also violated the malacha of Arba Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Is therefore Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev v'chachomim potrim. Now wait a second. There's no way, no how, you can take this braisa literally without some sort of commentary. How could it be chachomim potrim? Chachomim potrim means that according to Chachomim, they're not chayev? I mean, at the very least, you have to admit, he's certainly chayev from Maleches Hotzah. I mean, he threw the object from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's classic Hotzah. So the answer is, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Mechayev Hoye Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, and the Chachomim Achas. The only way that we could justify a machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachomim in this particular case is if we assume the machlokas is about violating an av and its tolda. And here's where Rabbi Yehuda the Tana as interpreted by Rav Yehuda Meshmuli Amorha, holds it Yechayev Shtayim. Achas Mishum Otzah, which is an Av Malacha, because again, he threw something from Shseyochid into Shseyravim. The Achas Mishum Havara, now we have a Tolda, of Havaras Arba Amos per Shseyravim. Now, Rabosai, this is complicated, because why should it be Chayef Havaras Arba Amos when there was no Akira? Do you follow me? Havaras Arba Amos means you did an Akira B'Tchilas Dalet and Anocha B'Sof Dalet. I see Anocha B'Sof Dalet. I don't see the Akira B'Tchilas Dalet. But leave that out for a split second, just so we make sure that we know what the Gemara is trying to say over here. The Gemara is trying to prove that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you violate an Av and it's told of Ehelim Achas, you bring two Chatos. And the Gemara says, Disal Kedaitoch. If you could interpret that when Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayev, he meant Chayev Chado Demechayev, then what are we going to do with the Rabbanon? Michal de Rabbanon Patre Legamre. Right? We have a Machlokas here. Rabbi Yehuda says Chayev, and the Chacham say Potter. It must be that he's not even Chayev for one Chatos, for one violation. That's impossible. Apikle Mishusayoch, Lushusarabin. We know that you're Chayev for taking an object from Mishusayoch into Mishusarabin. It must be, therefore, the Chacham agree that Yechayev. So what did Rabbi Yehuda argue? The answer is, the Chacham say Yechayev for one Chatos. And Rabbi Yehuda says Yechayev for two Chatos. In other words, the Chacham say Yechayev for Hotzah, but you're not Chayev for Havaras Dalet Amos. Now, why aren't you Chayev for Havaras Dalet Amos according to Chacham? Well, there are one or two ways we can go. We're at a crossroads. Either because they hold that there was no Akira to generate a Chiyuv of Havaras Dalet Amos, right? He just simply threw the object from Rishus HaYochin and it landed four Amos into Rishus HaRabim in flight. There was no Hanocha. Or alternatively, if we can solve the problem of Rabbi Yehuda and figure out why Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's chayiv even for Havaras Dalet Amos, then well, even the Rabbanan could be on board, but they hold that you're not chayiv for a told of a Mokom A. So we don't know exactly why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda is based on two principles. One principle is called Kluta Kamisha Huncha Domi. And that means that when the object flies into Rishus HaRabim, it's considered Munach in Rishus HaRabim. Once it's Munach Rishus HaRabim, it's going to be Munach B'Tchilas Arba, and then when it continues into Rishus HaRabim four Amos, we have Anocha B'Sof Dalet Amos, and we have a violation of Meleches Havaras Dalet Amos. So this Rabbi Yehuda is predicated on premise number one, Kluta Kamisha Uncha. Now we have to introduce premise number two, that if you violate both an Av and it's told of Ehelim Achas, you bring two Chatos. So you had a kasha from the case of Rebbe, that Rebbe derived from Eilat Dvarim that the max number of Chatos is 39, And how are we going to square that with Rebbe when Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul says that Rebbe is Mechayev Shtayim in the case of Besa Kabad Demalia Domi? The answer is Nain. Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul were not addressing Rebbe. They were addressing Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, holds that you can be Chayev for an Av and a Tolda Behelim Achas, two Chatos. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the Drosh of Eilat Dvarim. It's amazing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't even begin to know how to calculate the maximum number of chatos you can be chayev on any violation of Shabbos. It's like endless. Because if Rabbi Yehuda says in the cases of hachnasa and hotzah be'elim achas, or to be more precise, hotzah and havaras dalet amos b'shus harabim in this particular case, and yechayev shtayim, that means yechayev for told of a makom av, then there's an endless amount of violations and an endless amount of chatos that you would be chayev. Every single maisa vera that has a different surah sa vera is an independent machayev of its own chatos. Which, by the way, Rav Osai touches on our old question about what a tolda is. Certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tolda is a new entity. Even if we derive it from the Av, that's only Alocha and Yalfusa, but once having derived it from the Av, it stands on its own two feet as an independent method of violating the Shabbos. And now, according to our sugya, it comes out that there's one machlokas on top of another machlokas, and they're independent issues. One issue is, in the case of Rebbe Shita, who says that b'shesarab b'shesarab b'shesayochid b'emtzan, it's based on the command of Mal Yadomi, that we have anocha in b'shesayochid. That's one issue which the Chachomim rejected. And therefore the Chachom say you're potter. And the reason why you're potter is because he never had anocha in b'shesayochid. Again, we still have to understand, what about the Al-Ramas b'shesarab? And now we're going to introduce another machlokas, that you could be chayev here for just one second. So we're two different scenarios. In this scenario where he throws an object into one window, from Rosh Hashanah into one window, and it comes out of the other window. So that there the issue is going to be whether based on command of Mal Yadomi. On top of that, you could ask another question. Would he be Chayev Shtayim? Because he has both a Achnosa and a Hotza. An Av and a Tolda, right? Not in that order, but an Av and a Tolda. So that's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi had Dvarim HaDvarim is only 39. And Rabbi Yehuda never had that Jerusha, and therefore you could be Chayev for a Tolda B'makom Av. So that's one brisa. Then we have another brisa, not in the case of basic command of Mal Yadomi, but in a case where he threw something from Rosh Hashayachid into Rosh Hasharabim, but it didn't land immediately when it entered into the space of Rosh Hasharabim, but rather it traveled another four amos. And now we have an issue called Kluta Gemisha Unchadomi. For sure he's chayef from Meleches Hotzah, less mind the polig. Wherever it lands in Rosh Hasharabim, and that's Hotzah. But is he chayef an additional malacha of Havaris Dalet Amos? And that depends upon Kluta Gemisha Unchadami. Rabbi Yehuda for sure holds that Kluta Gemisha Unchadami. And he says in this case, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, that he's chayef Shtayim. And as we said before, just to review, two chidushim, two premises. Number one, kluta gemisha unchadami. Number two, you can be chayev, a separate chatos for the tolda b'makom av. Then we get to the chachomim. The chachomim potrim, which the Gemara insists means that you're only chayev one chatos. And we have no way of knowing why the Chachom reject Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda was based on two revolutionary premises. Did they reject the premise of Kluta Gemisha Unchadami? That's a very attractive position because we know that the Chachom against Rabbi Akiva and against Rabbi were not operating with Kluta Gemisha Unchadami. Or are they okay with Kluta Gemisha Unchadami? But they hold you can't be chayev for a tolda b'makom av. That remains an outstanding question. So again, Afshe Havarist Dalet Amos, he told the Shalotza Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, Mipnei She Rabbi Yehuda Sover De Mechayev Vinen Chatos Al Tolda Kechatos Bifnei Atzma Af Al Gavda Asob Elim Achas Im Ha'av. Oh, the Chachomim Sovrim. Okay, apparently Rashi and many other Rishonim interpret the Chachomim that they hold Eino chayev l'chatas achas. Okay, fine, but why? It's because you can't generate another chiyuv on a tolda b'makom av. So Rashi says, and other Rishonim, she'ledaitom einam lo amrinon kluta kamisha unchadami. Ah, I'm very comfortable with that. Because again, we had a machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim in the case of of Beis HaKaman D'mal Yadomi, and we were medayik, well, why didn't we argue about a case of Rishus HaRabim Ba'emtza? And the answer is because the Chachom hold of Rishus HaRabim Ba'emtza, we don't accept Kluta Gemisho and Chodomi, but maybe, perhaps, this Lahavamina, Chachomi would accept Beis HaKaman D'mal Yadomi. Kamashvel in this brisa says that not only did the Chachom reject Kluta Gemisho Hun Chodomi in the case of Rishus HaRabim Ba'emtza, which was their argument against Rabbi Akiva, they also reject the principle of Beis HaKaman D'mal Yadomi. And here in the case where the object was thrown into the air and it went into Rishus HaRabim, but deep, four amas into Rishus HaRabim, there's no way you could be mechayev him for an Akira B'tchilas Dalet because it wasn't Nach. And Lo Amrinon Kluta Kamisha Hun Chodomi. As Mevela comes out according to Chachamim, in this particular case, all you have is a Meleches Hotzah. You don't have a Meleches Havara. Which means that we still don't know what the Chachamim would say to address the other question of Rabbi Yehuda, the other Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. That if Lu Yitzuyer, you would have held, theoretically, Kluta Gemisha Uncho, if you come up with another Mitzis where you violate Hotzah and Havar Stalat Amis, Belim Achas, would you bring one Chatos, or would you bring two Chatos? So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that this is the right interpretation? Dilma Liolam Emilcha, Rabbi Yehuda Chadu de Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that you only chayev one chatas, and you can't prove a thing about tolda b'makomav. Rabbanim patri legamre, veichem mishkaches lo. How could you find a way that you threw something from Rishus HaYochanan into Rishus HaRabim, and the Chachom would say you're potur? And the answer is kigon diomar. He made a declaration. This zorek, and he said adenofkale l'Rishus HaRabim tanuach. In other words, immediately when it enters into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, that's where I want it to land. And therefore, basically, he had no interest in the Chafetz traveling four amas deep into penetrating the Rishus HaRabim. In fact, that was against his interest. Ubahaka Mifli, the Machlokis is the following. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Amrin and Kluta Kabisha Huncha, Vis Avdolei Machshavto. Now, it's even though he said, let it land immediately when it enters into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, that in fact was his ratzon, his machshava, and that exactly is what happened, because we apply the principle of Kluta Kamisha Unchad. Rabbanan Savri, lo amrinan Kluta Kamisha Unchad Dami, and therefore lo esavda machshavto. In other words, as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, there's no din of Kluta, so the object landed in a place far into Rishus HaRabim, that was not his intention. He wanted a nocha at the beginning of Dalet Amos, not at the end of Dalet Amos, and he's called a misase. Avla told him, Mokum Av, lo machayve Rabbi Yehuda. Unless you bring me an explicit source that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yechayv Shtayim in the case of a told of Mokum Av, I'm going to play the devil's advocate, and I'm going to assume that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not chayev atolda b'mokom av. And here's a case where there's machlokes based on kluta, whether it's avda machshavto or lois avda machshavto, and the machlokes is only about one single moloch and one single chatos when the object traverses the closer part of Rishus HaRabim that borders on the Rishus HaYoch. Okay, then we'll stop here.